18. A History of Britain in 18 Young Lives. Written and read by Alice Loxton. This book is dedicated to every 18-year-old out there. May your days be joyful and your future bright. Introduction: The Fountain of Youth. In the UK, 18 is the age we are officially an adult. The chrysalis of teenage years, with its irresponsible behaviour, terrible haircuts, and blotchy skin, suddenly breaks open. Out flies the beautiful butterfly of majority. Childhood is over, and adulthood begins. Of course, it's not quite as simple as that. The law may flick the switch, but youth is a much more fluctuating, personal thing. The dictionary tells us that youth is the age between childhood and maturity. Maturity, I wonder, what is that? Is it not answering back in a fight? Is it passing the crisps around before helping yourself? At 28 years old, am I there yet? Will I ever get there? Today, the life expectancy in the UK is 79 for men and 83 for women. So, perhaps, youth is 0 to 30, young middle age is 30 to 50, upper middle age is 50 to 70, and old age is 70 plus. But what about in the past? This is a tricky question to answer. Throughout history, all the figures on mortality have been warped by the vast numbers of childhood deaths. It's depressing to realise that many of our ancestors were already shuffling off this mortal coil at a very young age. Everyone in history who lives beyond 18 is lucky to be there. In Shakespeare's time, Stratford-upon-Avon had an average of 63 children baptised and 43 buried each year. It gets worse in the industrial towns of Georgian Britain. At the dawn of the 19th century, 57% of children born in Preston and 53% born in Liverpool died before their fifth birthday. As such, the life expectancy of a newborn Prestonian in a working-class family was 18 years old. In Liverpool, it was 16. If you discount all those very young deaths, you get a different picture. Between 1200 and 1745, if a man got to the age of 21 and didn't die by accident, go to war, or have a messy night out with his mates, he'd probably live to 62 to 70 years. Imagine it like a round of job interviews, with each round representing a decade of your life. The first couple of rounds would be brutal, getting rid of over half the applicants. But after that, there are only a few candidates knocked off at each round, with a handful making it to the final stages. In general, populations in the past were much younger. Today, you walk along the high street of a rural town at 11 a.m. on a weekday, and there are old people everywhere. The supermarket aisles are full of grey-haired Zimmer framers, the tea shops overflowing with bespectacled knitters, the pubs brimming with conversations propelled by chattering false teeth. But in the past, most people in the street were children or young adults. A silver-haired octogenarian was a much rarer, much more exciting sight. Of course, there were plenty of old people in the past, dotted around. It's just that today, more of us have a much greater chance of getting there. Imagine you gathered every single person from 14th century England and asked them to stand in a line, in order of their age. The A1 would be a good place to do it, then known as the Great North Road. "Youngest in Edinburgh, oldest in London, please," you'd shout on the megaphone. It would be a nightmare task, with all sorts of argy-bargy and confusion. "Where do I stand? All I know is I was born on St. Stephen's Day, 203 moons past." When everyone was roughly in order, if you picked the person standing in the middle, somewhere near Harrogate, they would be 21 years old. So, in the 14th century, if you were 22, you'd be older than half the population.